Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. Spirituality, psychic development, love and relationships, manifesting prosperity, and more. You now have access to the world's most renowned spiritual teachers, healers, psychics, and mediums as you join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Good evening. My name is Maureen Holleran, and you are listening to the Psychic Viewpoint sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. This evening, David Dibble, creator of DreamWork and DreamWork DNA, will be joining us. This will be a very engaging and enlightening experience. I will say that, yes, for sure. Before we get started, please join me in welcoming my co-host. And I will start with Steve. How are you this evening with the trick-or-treaters?
I'm very well, but I'm all trick-or-treated out for 1 year. That was enough.
Good candy you're offering?
I would have spent a fortune on candy.
They're expensive. Well, thank you. So what do you do? Do you work with trick-or-treaters?
Well, I'm a witch, so this evening's a busy night, you know.
Oh, wow. Good for you. You're in your element. So can you tell us a little bit more about what you do besides witchery?
Absolutely. I'm a psychic medium and hermetic astrologer.
And a very good one at both of those at that.
Thank you, Maureen.
Well, you're welcome. Carmen, how are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you. Very well this week. Yes.
Can you tell us who are you and what do you do?
Well, I am your strategic relationship advisor, aka the empath, with tarot reading abilities and a good dose of mystical belief. So it's great to be here.
Lovely. I like how you worded that. Very nice. And Stephen, what up with you? How are you doing?
Happy Halloween, Maureen. We missed you last week. So glad to have you back.
Thank you. I missed all you guys, too. Yeah. So, Stephen, what do you actually do?
Well, I am a tarot reader and an astrologer, like my good friend Steve. I practice medieval astrology, whose techniques were developed in a time when the astrologer would be put to death when he was wrong. So that's one thing I love to do, is to serve all the clients at Psychic Access, those who have career problems, relationship issues. Very rewarding job.
Yes, and you do it. And you reward us with yourself, with your being. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, it's all really real. I'm just saying how I feel. Okay. or is it not? Anyway.
Very real. Hello. Gracias.
I'd like to say hello to everyone in the chat room as well. And also, okay, so imagine you had the ability to ask any question and receive perfect guidance in a dream. David Dibble, the creator of DreamWork Coaching, We'll be explaining and discussing on how dream assignments, how we all have this ability. Not only can we receive the important messages in our dream, but we are also given the right actions to take and solve our life's biggest challenges quickly while aligning with the divine guidance of inner wisdom. So, you know, David says that this is a direct connection to inner wisdom while in the sleeping dream state and is programmed into our DNA, which I find fascinating. So, with that said, I am looking to see, I don't know if we have David here on, I didn't see yet if I saw that. I don't know. He may not be yet with us, but if he's not, well, I'm just going to keep talking. Anyway, David also is in my area, which is great, you know, because I'm always one who's not. And, David's ready. Hello, David, a warm welcome to you.
Well, hello, and it's such a pleasure to be here.
Thanks. I really appreciate you coming in on Halloween, well, and doing everything else. And you're in my part, you know, I'm never in anybody else's, but you're in my part of the country, which I love that, you know. David, you know, what you do, what this whole thing is I feel so fascinating. I don't know. So I'm going to just come right out. What is dream work?
Well, I'll go back a few years. In 1987, I was my family was living in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and I was commuting from San Diego because I had a business here. And my wife, Linda, met a man. His name was Alvaro Lopez Waterman, a PhD in psychology, who had been studying the sleeping dream state since about 1975. And he had found a way to access what we called inner wisdom, or we might call it God or spirit or higher consciousness, and to be able to ask questions and receive perfect guidance in a dream through a tool that he called dream assignments. And a dream assignment was basically a simple letter that was written to inner wisdom asking for guidance on a specific question. So over a period of then about 13 years, he had done thousands of dream assignments, recorded thousands of pages of basically data, research that he had recorded on what was really happening in the sleeping dream state and how do we access inner wisdom and get the guidance that's always there for us. And then how do we align with that guidance and make it so it's practical and something we could use in our everyday life.
Right. So this is not like lucid dreaming, correct?
Well, it's not like lucid dreaming, but lucid dreaming can be part of it. Mm. For example, I've written a little book that is sort of a translation of his more technical information around the sleeping dream state called Dream or Dream Interpretation. And in that book, I talk about a lucid dream, not only a lucid dream, but a dream we call a power dream, where we actually we're awake in our sleeping dream, but we actually make changes to that dream. And in so doing, we accelerate the changes that we experience in our waking life. So, yes, there is a part of it that is associated with lucid dreaming or power dreaming, but for the most part, this is just, you know, the regular sleeping dream state.
Right. Well, you know, David, how did you become a master of teacher of dream work? Or how did you become one? Anybody else one?
Well, when I looked at Alvaro's data, he's one of the most brilliant guys I've ever met. And at first I thought, well, this just can't be true. But then it was funny. I said, I'd be interested in learning more. And so he handed me 500 pages of mostly technical information. He said, well, read this and let me know what you think. And so I did, and I came back. I was even more intrigued. So I said, well, I would like to learn this. And so he said, well, it won't be easy, and it's going to be time-consuming, and it's going to cost you some money. But if you're willing to do all that, I would be willing to teach you. So I basically worked with him for 6 years and mastered it at some level. And my deal with him was that I would take this mostly technical information that had been provided to him by inner wisdom and translate it into something that everyday dreamers could use. So at the end of 6 years, I had sort of mastered it. So I went about doing that translation. And then about 5 years ago, I got this message, a very powerful dream that said it was time to take dream work into the world in a significant and meaningful way. And so for the last almost 5 years now, I've been getting everything together so that we could take it out into the world in a significant and meaningful way, actually in a way that could be a catalyst for raising human consciousness globally.
Yeah, I like that. I read that. I was reading that, and that's exactly, I think, why the Mayans let us survive so we can do this work, you know, of all sorts, so we can collectively come into the picture. You know, I read, David, that you were a former, you know, it's interesting, a lot of people lately on as guests, former, you know, corporate CEO of a successful. How did you find your way to this calling of, I mean, I don't think you were doing dream stuff as a CEO. I don't know. But I'm just curious.
Well, I had my own company, and we were about a $10 million company, and we were profitable, and I had a couple hundred employees. And I was still relatively young. I think I was, I don't know, in my early 30s and even maybe late 20s when things were going, you know, very well on the business side of things. But I had a spiritual experience in 1980, and it completely changed me in a matter of minutes from what I would call a kind of a hard-charging, I was filling in some of these gaps in my life with what I would call fast living and that sort of thing. But I also had this kind of an empty part of me, too. You know, I thought once you had it all, you know, the money and the beautiful wife and the kids and the house and all that stuff, that we would be happy. But in my case, that wasn't necessarily true. So I started filling in the gaps with, you know, fast living and drinking and too much, using drugs, that sort of thing. But at the spiritual experience, I saw that there was just so much more to life than I had known. So I quit the alcohol and the drugs that day and started putting my marriage back together and became what I would call a seeker. And I had the resources that I could do pretty much what I wanted to do. And so we did everything. I read every book and went to every power place and went to pyramids and mountains and rivers and caves and ashrams and teepees and you name it. And then at some point I realized, gosh, you know, I'm not so sure that what I really need or what I'm really seeking is out there, even though I felt like we've made a lot of progress. And so I started, you know, doing a lot more inner work probably about 8 or 10 years into this sort of seeking thing. And this was about the time dream work came into my life, and I started looking at, you know, being able to use dream work both in for my spiritual practice and in sharing it with other people. It's a way to accelerate them on their spiritual paths.
Yeah, I love your journey. Not that I wish it upon anybody else, but that's truly, I mean, I identify with this very authentic way to find what you're supposed to do here, you know, really. But, you know, I noticed that, I'm going to ask you a couple other things, but I did notice that this interview I wanted to do, because it does go out to people that are also in the field of coaches, as well as, so it you can help people that are already like someone like me or something that wants to take my you know, consulting or to a step further to help with the dream, people in the dreams, correct?
Matter of fact, it's that's the great thing about dream work is, you know, we all dream, and dreaming transcends culture and language and countries and time and space and all sorts of things. And so there is this opportunity, I feel, for people that are taking, I would say, are in this sort of a serving type of modality for their work in the world, whether it's coaches or counselors or therapists or teachers or whatever. And dream work is perfect for mixing and matching with whatever it is that, whatever the gifts are that people are taking into the world. Dream work can easily sort of mesh in there. Imagine as a coach, for instance, that you had a tool whereby you could have your client do a dream assignment and ask a question, maybe even a very profound question, and get perfect guidance in a dream. And that you, as a coach, had that as a starting point for your coaching of that particular client. For me, it's just like, wow. I mean, it's, you know, rather than guessing or wondering and that sort of thing, go to the source and ask the source what it is that, what is the guidance that's really coming forth for the client. And then as the coach, looking at how you can align with that guidance with your client.
That's fantastic. I like that. I like that quite a bit. Because, you know, some people will say, do you do dream analysis or do you do this or that? But what you're bringing up is quite wonderful and actually intuitively friendly in order to learn about how to do this if you are in the, you know, the service business, as you said. You know, what are some of the ways, what are some of the ways you have used dream work in your personal life and in your work life? I guess we can.
Well, personal life, Linda and I really haven't made really major decisions without doing dream assignments. I mean, here's a kind of an example. She was living in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and at the time, you know, well, still today. I mean, we had 3 young children, and I was commuting from San Diego where I had my business. And so I would go over every week or two. But when I arrived, I was sort of the discipline and the entertainment. My time there, it really wasn't what I would call quality time with Linda and the kids. And so what I found after a period of time is that it was just wearing me out. I was working long hours in San Diego, and then I would go there, and the hours in some ways were even tougher there because trying to get the family squared away and, handle all the problems and so forth that had cropped up during the week or 2 weeks and that sort of thing. So I realized that at one point that really I wasn't sure how much longer I could continue to do that. So I told Linda, I said, Linda, I think you have to come back to San Diego because, I can't continue to do this. I'm wearing myself out, and there's lots of things that are happening that aren't good. Plus, I really felt that the boys, who were, they're living in that 10 and 12-year-old range where they needed their dad with them, all the time. And so, anyway, she had just leased a house for a year. She just put the kids in school. She had made friends there. I mean, she had a whole, network of things that were going on. And so she said, I can't move now, And I said, well, I think you have to. So anyway, long and short of it is, we did a dream assignment. And what Inner Wisdom said was not whether we should live in San Diego or Santa Fe. It was that the family should be together. And so that really meant moving back to San Diego because I couldn't move to Santa Fe. So Linda wasn't pleased with what Inner Wisdom had to tell us. And so she actually asked Alvaro if he would do another dream assignment with her, thinking maybe I had been a little prejudiced. But anyway, she got the same message. And so it was very, very difficult for her. But she has just learned, to really listen to what Inner Wisdom has to say and to follow that guidance to the best of our ability. So we did. We packed up the kids and the dogs and all the stuff, and we moved back to San Diego. And in hindsight, Linda would say today, it was absolutely the best thing that ever happened because there were a lot of things that probably would not have worked out real well if she had stayed there.
Right. I always look at things like that when that happens. I have a saying, it goes, the things you think you don't need are the things you need the most. So you needed to get back to San Diego as a family. You talk about dream assignment, and perhaps no one knows what we're talking about. So what specifically is a dream assignment?
Well, it's a very simple letter that is written to Inner Wisdom or to whatever you want to call that. That higher power that lives in each and every one of us. And as a matter of fact, I'll just give you kind of the words that we recommend that you use. You would put the date on it, and then there's a mantra we recommend. The mantra we recommend is thank you, thank you, thank you, because we believe that gratitude has turned out to be really one of the most powerful blessings that we can express. And in this case, we're expressing it to Inner Wisdom. So a mantra, but you can use anything. And then it's dear Inner Wisdom, dear God, dear Spirit, dear whatever you want to call that part of you, yourself. And then you say, thank you for all you have done for me. If it is your will, please tell me in a dream tonight. And you ask your question. And then you say, I ask this so I can get closer to you. And then you say, thank you for all you have done for me, and you sign your name. So very, very simple, but that sets the dreamer's intent.
Yeah.
And the setting of the dreamer's intent, whether you do it in a little letter or whether you actually just close your eyes and breathe a little bit before you go to sleep, the setting of intent is really important because Inner Wisdom will listen to your intent and we'll answer whatever that question is. And normally the question should be whatever the biggest concern that you have in life is. So that the things that are keeping you up at night should be the questions that you ask about.
That makes a lot of sense. Instead of saying, oh, please, can I get this or that? The intent is the most important thing.
It's
a bigger picture.
Well, Inner Wisdom will always answer the bigger question, too. You might ask, what are the numbers in the lottery, or when am I going to get my red Ferrari, or something like that. and you'll get the answer back, something about, you know, this is what you need to know about your need to, to stand out and in a crowd and to be a bigwig, or this is what you need to know about your insecurities as opposed to when you're going to get your red Ferrari.
Right. So this is about really, you know, so it would be about right before going into the sleeping state, the dream assignment. Is that
only,
correct?
I recommend in setting intent, you can write the letter, but then even if you write the letter, I recommend you sit in bed and, or lie in bed in a comfortable position and then breathe a little bit, you know, maybe about 5 minutes of long rounded breaths like you might use if you were meditating, that sort of thing. Or doing yoga, and then just repeating your intent and your gratitude for inner wisdom, and then just go to sleep, and away you go.
Okay, so you could do this before the act of actually going into the bed, and you know we go to bed, but do we ever get to sleep? You know, some of us have a problem with that. But so I'm just asking for everybody else to understand, writing a letter or doing a little meditation, and then. Hours could go by, and then you decide to go into, say, reflect on it, and then go to sleep. So this would work in the daytime, though, even if like a little bit of the meditation, couldn't you integrate it, the dream assignment, in the meditation while you're awake?
Oh, well, here's an interesting thing. This sort of programming or encoding whereby inner wisdom tells us what we need to know about our biggest concerns in life, it's part of it's part of our DNA. The soul, before it comes in, basically is encoded with this ability to make this connection to inner wisdom every night when we sleep, and to get the information about what we need to know about whatever our biggest fears or concerns are in life. And if we align with the guidance of inner wisdom, we actually raise our consciousness. And so this is sort of the DNA of the mind, or the DNA of the human experience, this nighttime connection to inner wisdom, being given the guidance that we really need to solve our biggest issues or concerns in life, and then taking right action on those things, and in the process, raising our consciousness. So we all have it. It's part of the human experience. Actually, before we even come in, and the DreamWork is just really one methodology for tapping into that. But the messages that we get, whether we do dream assignments or not, they repeat all day long, and they can be heard in deep meditation or through intuitive hits during the day. So you can do DreamWork dream interpretation, or you can just. You can become, a really good meditator, or you can just start to be conscious of those intuitive hits that follow you during the day, telling you what you need to know about your greatest concern in life.
Yeah, I like how you put it in our DNA. I'm a big fan of Carl Jung. I mean, I love him. he talks about a psychic. We're all born into it with a psychic inheritance. It's almost like what you're talking about, the DNA. We're all come into this or collectively connected with the psychic inheritance, and that what you're saying is very much similar with the DNA. And
It's like the soul, there's another part of dream work called character types, which describes how each of the four parts of the mind communicate with each other. And if you're a believer that our realities are created inside out, first in the mind and then in the outer world, then this character types actually are sort of the DNA of the human experience. And so they're created by the date, time, and place of birth and correspond to the signs of the Western Zodiac. And although they're not astrology, you might call them sort of inner astrology, but it's not about the cosmos and the energies that are coming from the position of the stars and that sort of thing. This is about how the different parts of the mind communicate with each other. So in essence, if you can understand that, you can understand why we are creating the specific realities that we experience, both good and not so good, in the outside world.
Right. You know. So, what are we didn't go through the three pillars? I was. You know. Did we? No. Are the three pillars of dream work?
Yeah, well, the first pillar is dream work, dream assignments, and dream interpretation. Mm. The second pillar is character types, which I just briefly described. And then the third pillar is conscious systems. And this methodology is a very systematic methodology, the dream work, the dream interpretation, the character types, that sort of thing. And being systematic is very powerful because everything in the universe is made up of systems and subsystems. From the very largest features in the universe, like clusters of galaxies and large gaseous bodies and that sort of thing, all the way down to the atomic and subatomic level, you'll see that everything is made up of systems and subsystems. Well, everything in nature works perfectly, but when the human mind gets involved, things can go askew. And this is what we see in people, creating issues and problems in their lives. And what they don't realize is that they have created a system that they might not even know they did it, probably don't know that they created this system. But that system is responsible for an excess of 90% of the results that they're experiencing, both good and not so good. So if you want to change your life, you have to change the systems or the processes, or in the case of personal life, we might call them habits. You have to change those systems, or you can't create sustainable change in your life. And so this idea of, conscious systems, so consciously changing your systems so that they support you in solving your problems and in creating, the life that you really want to lead in this particular lifetime.
And it says, what about, I know I asked you about the dream assignment, but a dream assignment coach, I guess I'll ask you. Is that what I was talking about for people who are coaches, can help other people? What is that?
Yeah. Well, we just completed our first DreamWork Coach certification program. And out of that program, it was just, its first one, and we had, they had about 10 people that became certified coaches. And what we taught them is how to use DreamWork with clients.
Exactly. So, I missed that. Didn't you just have that in San Diego, right, recently? Was that?
Yeah. We did two things recently. We had an event called DreamWork Day, and we brought in a number of experts on dreams, and we live streamed it around the world, and it turned out to be it was very successful. And then we followed that with a 3-day DreamWork Coach certification program here in San Diego. And what came out of it was 10 raving supporters of DreamWork, and they are going crazy out there right now. They're already just diving in, using DreamWork in their existing practices. And we had a couple of people that were actually new to coaching, and they're now making DreamWork sort of the centerpiece of their coaching practice. But I think we're kind of on to something. It looks like there's going to be another DreamWorks coach certification sooner than we thought.
In San Diego, maybe?
Well, I'm not sure. There are people are talking about, for sure there will be one in San Diego, probably toward the end of the first quarter next year or second quarter. But it also looks like we may be taking it on the road. There are people trying to organize a couple of things in other parts of the country as well.
That's fantastic. I'm really happy to hear that was successful. I remember, that's how I ran it. Yeah. Well, David, why did you wait more than 20 years to introduce DreamWork to the world, to us all?
Well, I had been really busy doing other things. I mean, we were using DreamWork all the time. And we were using character types all the time. But in my consulting business, I was really more focused on the conscious systems side of things. And so, to tell you the truth, I wasn't really planning on taking DreamWork into the world in a meaningful way. And then about 4.5, going on 5 years ago, I had one of those kind of dreams that it's a very special dream that just literally screams in your ear, you need to do this. I sat straight up in bed and I got this message that said very powerfully, it's time to take DreamWork into the world. And so I actually did another dream assignment because I wasn't really happy to hear that because I knew how much work it would be. And So I did a dream assignment to confirm, and lo and behold, of course, that was confirmed. So I started working on getting all the support materials ready, and it's taken almost 5 years, but we finally made it. And so the launch for DreamWork really was these two events that we did in San Diego. But this was really kind of a mission that was sent to me from Inner Wisdom. And as I said, I really do try to the best of my ability to listen and align myself with the guidance from Inner Wisdom. So it's been quite a 5-year ride, but we're now ready to start taking it out in the world in that significant, meaningful way.
Oh, so David, are you teaching? Okay, so like we were talking about the coach, what was it called, DreamWork. The people are real excited, like using this in their own business. So are they able to be trained like how you're teaching? Then they can go out and train other people.
I would say that it's certainly feasible that people could then go out and train other people.
Right.
But to teach it, you probably need a little bit more. You probably need a little bit more practice and maybe a little bit more guidance than just to use it.
Right.
So definitely, I mean, our long-term goal is to somehow, with DreamWork, reach 100 million dreamers worldwide and have all of us dreaming together a new dream for the planet. And we believe that if we can reach some critical mass, we just picked 100 million as a number, but there is some critical mass, I believe, whereby when we hit that number of dreamers dreaming a new dream for the planet together, I believe that there will be a profound shift in the consciousness of humankind globally, and we will then be able to really start addressing the many issues that we are facing as a species, as humans on the planet, and of course as other species on the planet as well. So the nice thing about this dreaming together is you don't have to do anything. In other words, you don't have to write your dream down. You don't have to interpret your dreams. You have to do anything. All you have to do is just set your intent to dream this new dream. And we've just finished drafting kind of a very short, quick intent building, almost like a script that people could use to set their intent before we dream together. And I think if we hit some critical mass of people dreaming together, just like large group meditation, we'll be able to change the physical reality.
I absolutely agree. You get so much of that energy at the same time. It's going to make all the difference. Everybody, I mean, they've done things out there for everybody at one time doing this. And I love what you say. It's going to be, it will make a big difference. And again, that's what I think 2012, the new beginning, was all about. Not the doom, but this is the new beginning that we have. You know, I wanted to ask you, you know, David, sometimes people, you know, we all dream, we know that, but some people say, I don't dream because they don't remember. When you're doing this with the assignment and the intent, is it pretty well, I mean, would you pretty well say that it would be very more clear that your dreams would be more remember, you know, you could recall them better by having?
Yes, it's amazing what happens. We'll have people who say they haven't remembered a dream in years or even many years. And the second we start putting our attention on doing dream work, this doesn't happen for everyone, but the vast majority of people who haven't remembered their dreams will almost immediately begin remembering their dreams, or at least part enough of their dreams so that they can actually begin to do dream work. And the other thing that we have found is that if someone, you know, tries a couple times, they set their intent to remember their dreams, they still don't remember, that sort of thing, we will actually say, all right, well, let's do a dream assignment. And of course, that sounds counterintuitive. You know, if you can't remember your dream, why do a dream assignment? But there's something about doing a dream assignment that really pops people into being able to remember their dreams. So, yeah, it's amazing what happens. I would say in the vast majority of the cases, once we put our attention on dream work, people will start remembering their dreams.
I think that's a great thing. You know, we're going to take a short commercial break, and we'll be from our sponsor, PsychicAccess.com. We'll be right back with David in just a moment.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
And we're back with David. We're speaking with David, the new dream work. And I got a little lost. Oh, yes. I wanted to ask you, what really happened? You know, we just spoke about, you know, people, you know, not all people, but they start remembering dreams. I'm sure their sleep must become a little bit better, too. But how do you learn to interpret these? You mentioned when we were first talking, David, about how, you know, making the movie, you did a dream assignment with your wife and, you know, it all came back. You guys moved back to San Diego because you did an assignment and wanted to do it. You did it, I think, you said two times. But what kind of can you give me an example? I mean, I know this couldn't pertain to everybody. For example, how do you know? You know, do you follow me? What I'm trying to ask of you?
Are you asking how do you get the messages or how do you interpret the dreams?
Yeah, can you use an example of somebody's? You don't have to devolve the real person's or your dream. Yes, exactly. How would
Yeah, well, the really nice thing about this methodology, as I mentioned before, is that it's systematic. And in being systematic, we can actually put the dream interpretation methodology in kind of a step-by-step format. For example, if you go onto our website, newdreamwork.com, my book is up there, which is Dreamwork, Dream Interpretation, which, by the way, is a free download. And I highly recommend if you're interested in Dreamwork, start there. That's a great starting point. But there's also a thing called the Professional's Dream Assignment Guide. And the Professional's Dream Assignment Guide is a document which basically steps you through all of the steps in interpreting a dream. You know, what parts of the mind do the symbols represent? How do you go about distilling those symbols from their surface meaning to the deeper meaning? How do you string those things together so that the theme of the dream, which is the answer to the question, begins to emerge? And then, of course, there's probably three or four other what I would call key points that you'll want to keep an eye on when you're doing this dream interpretation. But this methodology is teachable. And that's what makes it so great. You know, when we were doing the coach certification program, the people there had not done any of this prior to being in the certification program. And within a couple of days, I mean, we had people in front of the room doing dream interpretation, watching dreamers have these monstrous ahas, you know, about what inner wisdom wanted them to know, you know, about whatever the issue is in their life. But the normal way it's done is we take a dream, and then we take a look at the individual symbols in the dream. Let me give you an example. Well, think of a dream scene that you might have had recently. Can you think of one?
Oh, yeah, but there's usually torment. Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Well, maybe just a sentence or two.
Okay. Oh, sense or two about what it I felt like, or what I saw. What do you mean by like?
Just a sense or two about the dream itself. So, what was happening in the dream?
Grief and grief that was past and grieving, and fear.
Okay, good. Now let's talk about the symbols in the dream. Were you in the dream?
Yes.
Okay. Was there anyone else in the dream?
No. Faceless was people. Faceless people. You know, people that I didn't. I guess there were other people, but not with, you know, identified.
Okay. Well, were you? If you were the, were there any other symbols that were not people in the dream?
Yeah, there's, and this is a recurring. It's a home that I grew up in. It was torn down. So I was dreaming about this home.
Okay,
that
good.
I grew up in.
So there's the you in the dream, mm-hmm. and then there's this home. Any other symbols in the dream?
Large sailboats. My father used to race yacht sailor. He was a sailboat racer. So the boat. I see the boat.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so just tell me quickly. So there's the you in the dream. You're back at this old home. There were some sailboats in the dream. What was happening?
It was almost like what was happening was it was I was feeling it like because like I in reality this home was built and then later it was bought and torn down 20 years later. So what was happening is everything was starting to crumble away. Like, crumbling.
All right, good. So let me just talk about the symbols of you and the symbols of the home, and then we'll just distill these symbols. It just takes a couple minutes to do that. And let's maybe get a little bit of deeper meaning about mm-hmm. what it is that Inner Wisdom is trying to tell you in this dream. So we've got the you in the dream, right?
Right.
Okay. So what we're going to do, I'm going to ask you a series of questions, they're very simple questions, and what I'd like to do is just tell me the first thing that comes to your mind, okay?
Okay.
All right. So we've got Maureen in the dream. When you think of yourself in this dream, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
A child.
Good. And what do you mean by child?
Insecure.
Good. And what do you mean by insecure?
Afraid.
Good. And what do you mean by afraid?
Alone.
Good. And what do you mean by alone?
Scared.
Good. And just a couple more. What do you mean by scared?
Lost.
Lost. Beautiful. And last question, what do you mean by lost?
Vacant.
Vacant. Okay, good. And now we're going to go to the home. What's the first thing that comes to mind when you think of the home?
Fantastic.
Good. And what do you mean by fantastic?
Misperception.
Misperception?
Mm-hmm.
And what do you mean by misperception?
Change.
Change, good. And what do you mean by change?
Pain.
Pain, good. And what do you mean by pain?
Grief.
Grief. And what do you mean by grief?
Past.
Past. And last question, what do you mean by past?
Future.
Okay, good. So, looking at these symbols in the dream, the you in the dream is a symbol of your feminine mind. Any woman that dreams of a female in a dream, her age or younger, that's a symbol of the feminine mind. And the feminine mind is the feminine part of each one of us. It's the part that feels, its emotions, its memories, it's that sort of thing. If you dream of a man in a dream that's your age or younger, that's a symbol of the masculine mind, which is the thinking mind. And the youngest part, basically the youngest part of the mind and the youngest part of the brain. Anything that's man-made is a symbol of what we call the authoritarian mind. And the authoritarian mind is the rules, regulations, and boundaries by which you run your life. So in this particular, let me give you the fourth part of the mind too, which is the spiritual mind. The spiritual mind is our connection to nature, connection to the body clock, connection to higher purpose, and also the closest part of the mind to the soul and inner wisdom. So we've got these four parts of the mind, and how these four parts of the mind communicate with each other determine what's going on in our life, in waking life. So in this particular dream, inner wisdom is addressing whatever your biggest concern is in life. And I won't ask you what that biggest concern is unless you'd like to share it with us.
Right now, you want me to answer that question?
What my biggest concern is? If you're comfortable with it.
Oh, no. I'm an open book. Everybody knows. my biggest concern in life is peace. Peace within.
Okay, good. So is it that you have too much peace or not enough?
Not enough.
There we go.
Not,
So the concern part of it is probably that there's a lack of peace within right now, yeah?
Correct.
Okay, good. So the you in your dream is a symbol of your feminine line. And we started off on the surface, you said child. And then that went to insecure, afraid, alone, scared, lost, vacant. And so we've got feminine mind. And this feminine mind is bounded by the part of you that is like the old home, which is authoritarian mind. And so this is all happening in this old home. And you started off, the first thing you said about the home was fantastic. And then you said misrepresented, and then it went to change, it went to pain, grief, past, and future. So, I mean, this is obviously, a very short version of going through a dream interpretation. But you can begin to see that, you've got rules and regulations and boundaries that are like this house. That are basically interacting with the part of you that is feeling lost, scared, and alone, feminine mind. And in particular, it's going to be emotions around alone, scared, lost, vacant. So remember, the feminine mind is always going to be emotions in one way or another. Mm-hmm. So you've got those emotions, and most likely those are the emotions that are... that are the ones that are creating a condition of unpeace.
I agree.
Yeah. And then, but it's really circumscribed by these authoritarian minds. It's like the old home that you at first held as fantastic, but as we go deeper into it, it goes right down into pain and grief in the past. And it's funny, the change from past to future. I might even ask you about that. So how do you move from past to future in this particular case?
That's exactly, I understand I understood exactly where you just went with this. This is fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
it's so
yeah,
cool.
It's,
and I'll tell you something, we do this, actually this happens a lot. I mean, we'll have people in front of the room and I'll tell everybody, okay, now just watch. Because if we get a little lucky in this dream, you'll see all of a sudden you'll see a person's consciousness expand as they go into an expanded awareness where they see it, where they haven't seen it before, and you'll just see them. And a lot of times they'll even gasp a little bit, kind of like this, and you'll see the whole group go, "Oh my gosh!" And this is the same type of thing. This is why dream work is so powerful, is because it bypasses the filters of the mind and gets right to it. And so,
yeah, you said like there's a aha moment type of thing, you said. I can understand. This is fantastic. It's not like someone interpreting a dream of this is the thing you're holding on the pad, blah blah blah. I mean, this is fantastic. This is really great.
Oh, I'm really glad you like it, but this is something that inner wisdom gave us.
that's true. That's true. Very true. I'm so glad you're in my area because I really, that's why when I found you, it was quite amazing because I'd never seen anything or thought about doing a show of this nature. I've had dream people on, they're great, but this is a whole different area of this, which is so authentically unique.
What's so great, Maureen, is that we had some expert dream workers that have been, it's what they do for their livelihood and that sort of thing, that took the certification program. And they were able to see how this could integrate so well in with what they were already doing. And that's what I feel is really important, is that, you know, this is part of each and every one of us. And so naturally it's going to integrate with anything that we're doing out there in the world. And so rather than having one and one, you know, competing with each other, what we do is we have one and one being synergistic and creating more than two.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of other people that have been, as I'm sitting here, I don't even like doing this with my fingers up and the people that do the quotation, dream interpretation. I feel that perhaps this might end up being something that, like you said, could actually go more into, collectively going towards this direction. Because, you know, all the books out there with their dream, you know, the dream encyclopedias or dream diction, whatever, you know, which are fun, but I mean, that's about it. But also could scare the heck out of some people also.
Well, you know, I did a little research into dream dictionaries. I went up to the first page of Google. I typed in dream interpretation for the search, and I took the first, I don't know, four or five dream dictionaries that appeared on page one of Google. And I just took the word dog, and then I went into the dream dictionaries to see how they would define a dog in a dream. And they were all over the map. And I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing that they're all over the map. What I do think is a little bit of a concern is that if someone goes up there and starts pulling out definitions of various symbols in a dream, and then somehow takes action based on that information, I do think that's not necessarily a good thing. Because, you know, inner wisdom is telling us all the time what we really need to do, but only the dreamer can know that. You know, there's no sage out there that can make it up for the dreamer. And so this idea of going, you know, to outside of the dreamer to get the real, you know, to get the real scoop and so forth, I think has, it's a potential trap in that sense.
Wow, I'm really enjoying this interview, eh? So
I learned so much from it.
Well, I'm wondering about, you know, dreams that go back in time, where you can access time past events.
Thank you. I didn't know I was, bless your hearts, I was unmuted. I was just in awe, David. I had muted myself. And they just stepped in for me, seeing how we all just collectively do our thing. We only have a few minutes. Thank you, Carmen. Thank you, Stephen. We only have a few minutes left. I wanted to, you know, I want on the, your guest page, we also have your books. You're an author of several great books, or more than several. And also, but on your, I did get your bonus gift myself. So could you tell us again how people can get that?
Well, you can go to newdreamwork.com, and right there on the first page, the home page, is a place where you can download DreamWork Dream Interpretation. And it's a short little book, but it's got really everything you would need it to kind of get started and learn a little bit more about DreamWork. And then if you like what you're reading, you can go back to the website. There's all kinds of nice, good free stuff up there. Got a character types book, and we've got dream assignment guides and all sorts of stuff. So the name of the game for us is to get this out into the world, as I said, in a significant, meaningful way. And that'll be strictly up to you as how fast or how far you want to go with it.
Well, we're going to go real far. You know, your guest page has, under the anybody listening, all this information we're talking about. Your link to the new dreamwork.com is on there. Also, you know, this has been great. David, I really appreciate you saying yes to coming for this interview. I really appreciate it a lot. And I do look forward to meeting you, and I'm sure I will, just because I just feel that way, because I had a dream. And I really do appreciate this work you're doing. I think it's for the all, good of the all, for everyone.
Well, I so appreciate you having me on the show too, Maureen, because you know, this is how it's going to get out into the world is, you know, we're just going to keep making connections, and we're going to keep sharing our messages and supporting each other. And I think, you know, the work that you're doing also is wonderful. And we're gonna make a difference in the world. I just know it.
I agree. And like I said, I don't think the Mayans, we weren't going to get off that the hook that easy by just leaving and being blown off the face of the earth. That'd be too easy for us. So this is why I just love having people that we're all in this together, and there's such great new things coming about. I really appreciate it, David. So, and I'm glad and happy Halloween. Yeah.
Well, and, thank you.
And I hope to, well, I'm going to be keeping up with what's going on with you, and everybody else will be able to too. So have a great evening, David, and thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, that was very, I really enjoyed that. I was hoping everybody else would too, because it was a little bit different than, anyway. You know, like I said, David, on his guest page, you'll find all the information you need to hear about him. And he is in my part of the country, which is kind of like, just as a cool thing. Of course, I had to plug myself in there. Anyway, I'd like to make a few announcements. Be sure to stay tuned for the second half of our show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We will announce the call-in number later in the show, so be sure to have that pen, pencil, paper, crayon, whatever else you want to write with ready, and paper, whatever. Okay, if you were unable to catch our last week's show, as I was, and I will listen to it later, I think Stephen was your show, on Timeless Tarot, you will find a recorded archive link as well as archives of all of our previous shows on psychicaccesstalkradio.com under the Archives tab. Please feel free to circulate the archives links and future show details to your friends and family. It is our objective to connect with as many individuals as possible, so please share that link with others. And, you know, I wanted to say, I do share that link. I share a lot of these archives with some of my clients if they're not following me, which sometimes happens, and even if your family members, we have a lot of, from the beginning of time, we have a lot of great shows that have been helpful for me even when I'm feeling a certain way or not understanding, just to reflect. So just keep that in mind. Also, be sure to visit our psychicbloggers.com site to learn about everything from reincarnation to the how-tos of psychic development and psychic vampire crazy makers. If you're interested in a reading from the best professional psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com, where you'll find the best verified and accuracy tested psychics, each with their own unique gifts. Each of the psychics has a detailed profile for you to find out more about them, as well as the best features. There's a video that you can listen to and look at them and everything, and you could get a little bit of feel about that, and so you can choose from the list of some of the most authentic gifted psychics around. And yes, I do say this, there are, I think this, it is the best site, and I'm not just saying that because I'm there, but I just know. It is an honor working with Doug and Psychic Access, because of the high expectations required of each psychic Doug does have, and so therefore this is a direct reflection of how good of a site. All the co-hosts here on Psychic Access TalkRadio.com work at PsychicAccess.com. And if you would like a personal reading from any one of us, please be sure to visit us at PsychicAccess.com. We'd love to hear from you. By the way, site owners and webmasters can earn 50 cents a minute on every reading on traffic that is referred to PsychicAccess.com. So for more details, visit PsychicAccess.com/webmasters. And someone's trying to get a. If you like our show, please invite your friends to join in the chat room. We've got a fantastic chat room. It's one of the best. And everybody in there, hello, everybody. They're just wonderful, like-minded individuals, really welcoming. And everybody seems, we all get along in there, you know, and they interact with us. And there's something for everybody. So spread the word. We'd much appreciate it. Also, I would like to say, the call-in number for the readings at the end of the show, if we're ready. I don't know if you guys want, I always put it in there, but, you know, if anybody else wants to, I can do it too. But the call-in number for readings at the end of the show, well, not the end of the show, it's at the end of our banter. And the end of our banter is coming up. For those of you who aren't familiar with our banter, it's real fun. But the phone line does not, I want to tell you, do not call this, don't even try to call the number. It won't work for you until around 6:16 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 9:16 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And that number is 724 844-444-4851. Okay. And, Stephen, also, I see this all these little funny things. So now it's time for the da-da-da-da or ta-da banter. So, oh, wait, one more thing. You know, before, you know, I think this, because I always get lost myself and don't get into this. I wanted to say, because when we start getting closer to the calls, I do want to make it clear again, please, you must wait. The line will not be open, and you'll be all flustered if you try to get through, because it just won't work for you. Till 9:16 p.m., around 9:16 p.m. Eastern Standard, or it will be 6:16 p.m. Pacific. But when you do call, you'll be nobody will be greeting you, sorry, like a green room at Oprah's. You'll be placed on hold, but you'll be able to listen to hear the radio show going, and we will get to you in the order received, so you like to line up. Okay, so I just want to say that now. So the banter. Okay, let me see. Carmen.
Hello.
Thanks for saving me. Thanks for saving me on my mute thing. That doesn't
Well, I was actually really enjoying the talk and trying not to go off into a reverie.
It. And
literally.
Steve, yeah, thank you. So,
but Carmen, anyway, it was fascinating because he was talking about collective dreaming. I've had that experience once, I believe, and when I was in school. And we both were able to recount the people that we met in the in a huge camping area where everybody in school was. And we were encountering each other's family and friends, and we could remember what each other's friends were wearing, which made me feel, I wasn't certain if that was because we were just telepathic, probably. But those are amazing. And then you have those telepathic dreams, and then I live my life via my dreams. I write them down, and I note everything because they keep coming true. And then there's information about the universe in them and science as well. So if you're an engineer or a scientist or an artist especially, but you can really draw upon these ideas, and our genius comes out in dreams. It's phenomenal. The stuff I know that I would not have known in real life. It's like in storage. You know?
I'm on mute. I said, yeah. And I go, wait, I'm on mute.
Speechless.
I just I don't want everybody to hear my heavy breathing.
But I think somebody was asking in the chat room, like, what it feels like for why, if you're happy in your dream, does that mean you're going to be happy, as happy in life? And I find that dreams are often exaggerated. So, like bad events will actually be, they will seem much more pristine, much more perhaps beautiful, palatable, so that you study them. Mm-hmm. So instead of seeing, you know, a crisis, you see it in a much more beautiful form, so that you retain the information, maybe paint it or visualize it and analyze it, as opposed to forgetting a nightmare. Because don't you find, Maureen, if you've ever had dreams about like natural disasters and stuff, that they are much softer when you have a dream in like the prophetic dreams?
Mm-hmm. Well, I've only had a couple dreams. My dreams are like, I have night terrors, and I do have. I told, like I've said before, I think even since you've been on, I sleepwalk and. And I actually, though, and I do talk loud. And yes, Mary knows I snore. Okay, everybody? But the thing of it is, I know I just had to put that in there. The thing of it is, there's only been a very few, very rarely have I had a dream, a disastrous dream that came to be the case. And I'm glad I don't get these dreams. Like some people, that's their thing. That's their connection and their intuition. I don't know. I felt so awfully devastated by the whole thing, but it's very rare. But I liked how he did that thing with me. I thought that was great what he was doing with me, because I understood it, and I understand and I have this, it's always reoccurring, this past home and everything. It's like I need to move on or let go. But it was interesting how he asked certain questions immediately, how to throw them out, and it made sense to me, you know. And I think anybody could do that.
Yeah, he had his definite way about him. And,
his thing is very unique.
I wouldn't be able to say that my dreams are that organized, Well, I think that takes a certain amount of discipline.
Well, I think that's what his whole thing is, dream work is about. It's a whole different way of approaching it, which I like because of the fact that, you know, we dream interpreters and this and that, but they can be so discombobulated. There's so many in your mind. You know, myself and someone says, oh, you know what that dream means, don't you? You're going to do something bad, you know, or something. Or you could do it for yourself if you read. I think that can be kind of dangerous, but, you know, I don't know. What do you think about that, Carmen?
Well, what about negative things?
Like, yeah, it's like things if people, happen? Yeah, and maybe it's not such a bad dream. Maybe there's symbolic, you know, certain things.
No, that's correct. I was saying in the talk, in the chat room, actually it exaggerates danger. So, in fact, let's say, you know, you have a really happy dream. It's an exaggeration of that contentment. Mm-hmm. But that's because it's probably wired on the same basic function, which is to exaggerate danger so that you remember it. Mm-hmm. So in the same way that you would remember a good outcome, it probably wants you to remember something bad. And so it's going to have to be more extreme. I think that for the most part, it would depend on what you identify with as well. And it would really depend on your worst fear. For me, for example, when I sometimes dream about myself, I'm often dreaming about other people's outcomes. So when I'm dreaming, I'm actually dreaming about often, because I watch a lot of news, crime victims,
yeah,
you know, what happens, or political scenarios. And I tend to get very involved in that other person's perspective. And that can be very frightening. So if someone dies and I dream of their death, that to me, every time I have that happens to me, I wake up crying. I can't help that. And it will feel like you when you assume that person's future or their outcome.
Yeah.
It's terrifying.
Yeah. Maybe you shouldn't be watching that. You know, I used to listen to talk radio all night long. Art Bell, which is great. But sometimes, you know, and, you know, you're sleeping and it's going on. And I used to put it in my ear. I couldn't fall asleep. And it's funny. I don't know if it became of anything, but I stopped remembering my dreams for a couple of years too. So, and that's a bummer. But thanks, Carmen. I appreciate your input. I think your outlook, you know, your insight on this. Steve. Hello, Steve. Trick or treater man. Handing out candy.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
What do you think of, and you can be honest, what do you think of this dream, new dream work type of thing?
I think it's really interesting.
Yeah.
Because I know that when we sleep, we are, the physical body rests in effect, doesn't it? And heals. And we are more connected to our astral selves, the subconscious. So I think what occurs during sleep is extremely interesting.
Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if you were, you might have had some trick-or-treaters that you were scaring. Maybe I did ask him about that because I'm an insomniac. You know, I have problems. This is, there you go. I need to make my issues known to everybody. But, you know, like that's why I asked him, could you do this dream assignment throughout the day, like a meditation? And so, you know, you kind of keep it whatever. And I kind of like the idea. Yeah, I used to remember telling people, if you want to dream of someone that maybe have passed, I don't use the word passed, has died. Before you go to sleep, I, you know, like I tell my mom, she wants to see my father, say, or husband, I say, you know, tell him, hey, I'd like a little visit. But that's a little different than what we were talking about tonight. But, you know, when people say, I dream, I just want to have everything I can imagine and have, like, you were doing a lottery number. There's more to this that I really agree that making a difference in the world, he's just another part of it in the dream area of what he's doing. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it just is another piece of everybody. And just say, yet again, Steve, you can appreciate this, another CEO coming along this path with the rest, well, as you can identify with that. I love hearing those, the people, you know, they're, you know.
Especially people that leave the corporate world.
Yes, Steve, and you know you identify with that. And I just find it, you know, that's more and more, I've heard more, you know, I see it more and more going on, don't you?
Yeah, I feel people reach a stage, don't they, where they feel burned out and they feel inclined to pursue what's really important to them.
Well, yeah,
so
but
it does happen.
Yeah, but not until the last 5 years. What's become important to them is coming out of the closet with their spirituality, or being what's important to the whole people, the bettering of us all. It used to be different, you know. Now I'm older, so maybe I'm going in that direction. Yeah, they would leave the corporate world, but only to go retire, you know, to Greece, which isn't so bad. Which isn't so bad with, you know, NASA's. I don't know. I think David's was interesting. I'd never had come across anything, because this also helps other people, like what we do in our work. Does anybody ever ask you if you interpret dreams, Steve? For one, you know.
I don't think I've been asked that question, Maureen.
Really?
No, I don't remember being asked that, in honesty.
I've had some people say, what does this mean? And it's like, sometimes, you know, like I said, I always think that there's more symbolic, there's something going on. And it could be a negative dream that's actually very positive, of dying off your old self or da-da-da, you know, whatever. But the way he's doing it is a little bit different. That I like that he's teaching people that are in the coaching, or, you know, we call it what you want, us people, field. And I'm looking forward to seeing how this goes, as far as it goes with what he's doing. And I know he's working on this for a long time, so maybe you can fly out and go to something with me here.
I would love to. Would love to see you again.
Yeah, so you say. Okay, well, Stephen, what about you? You want to come?
Absolutely.
Here he comes. Here comes Stephen. Thank you for pulling my mute out, I think.
Well, yeah. It's a situation I certainly sympathize with, because I've done the exact same thing. I know exactly how it is.
I know, but what do you think about the show tonight?
Mr. Dibble was absolutely awesome. I love to see metaphysical people like him, lucid, intelligent, practical. You know, sometimes it's difficult in our industry to hammer down, you know, really practical advice, concrete advice that the client can take into, you know, her daily life and actually use to navigate the shallowing waters of her life. But a gentleman like Mr. Dibble, educated, sophisticated, intelligent, you know, the industry needs people like him. And, you know, Psychic Access has pretty much gobbled up most of the best metaphysicians, as it were, but certainly not all of them. And Mr. Dibble had a lot that was valuable to say. I enjoyed the interview.
You know what he talked about? I don't know if you and Steve caught it, about astrology. Did you hear that part, or were you just not paying attention?
yeah, I did. And, you know, naturally it stuck a chord with me, because I tend to view all of these as essentially the same. Tarot, astrology, dreams, all three of these mechanisms, these vehicles toward the divine, all three of them use the language of symbolism. And, you know, this is an incredibly powerful language that doesn't require a lot of, you know, quote-unquote overhead, in the sense that you don't have any troubling verbs to conjugate. There's no grammar to this language, and everyone in the universe can understand it. It's an incredible shorthand for the divine, and it's well worth our time to learn how to speak that language. And Mr. Dibble, I feel, you know, can certainly help us do that. I really loved the associations that he went through with you towards the end of the interview. That certainly piqued my attention.
Oh, I just love the way you articulate things. I do. I'm not teasing you or anything, or yanking your chain.
I appreciate that. Well, it started. I sort of tried to discipline myself to get out of using foul language. I said to myself, you know what? Your vocabulary, the quality of your vocabulary indicates the quality of your thoughts. You know, and I'm going to shoot for the highest quality thoughts. And so, you know, I try to become a better communicator there. You know, but dream interpretation is also something that I like to do on Psychic Access sometimes. Don't really get a chance to do it all that often, but, you know, it's, I hate to say it, but it's really actually kind of fun.
Oh, well, you know what? You're all about fun, aren't you? You're a fun guy. Well, you see that, Adam? I'm a fun, loving, warm, fun, loving. I forgot what it, well, what the heck. A fun, loving guy. Oh, that's right. You see that?
You're talking about the song.
No, I'm talking about in those personal. I'm a fun-loving guy.
You know, oh,
you run, You run, you don't hide. You just run from those. No, I'm joking. Hey, listen, Stephen, hold that thought for a minute because I want to tell people to get a hold of Stephen. No, fun loving guy. No, the phone line's open now. If everybody would like to know, it's the phone number to call is 724-444-4851. And I would like to say again, well, I'm not going to say it again. I'm not repeating myself. But the thing of it is, when you call in, you know, you'll be aware that you will automatically be placed on hold and will be answered in order received. So please just relax. You can hear the show while you're waiting. And please be very clear and direct with your question. And we can only take, this is very important, only take one question per person, as this will allow for us to take all the calls waiting for a reading. And in addition to that, you'll get a much better reading because of the time restraint we have here. We can't, you don't want go with your head spinning and we can't. So again, the number is 724-444-4851. And apparently I'm the only one putting this in here, you guys, but watch me go in the chat room. And you guys aren't there doing it, but I'm going to put it in the chat room. Yes, you can call now, Chrissy, in the chat room. I'm answering. Yes. And you know, thanks everybody. Just hey, come on into the chat room. Everybody's coming on in. Time to call. Stephen, I'm sorry I interrupted you. What were we saying about single man?
No, it's quite all right. He's got to get that number out there for sure. You know, one thing that Mr. Dibble really impressed me with was his comments about the fringe consciousness, you know, those moments right before falling asleep, right before waking up. You know, I think those are definitely very potent times of the day, and they're especially potent for those of us who wish to, you know, take control in our dreams and actually direct the way, you know, direct our actions in the dream. They say that, for example, one exercise that a person can do is to raise your hand up in front of your face in your dream. You know, this is like a step in the direction of lucid dreaming, so to speak. And what you do is, right in that moment of fringe consciousness, before you're about to fall asleep, you focus on that. I'm going to lift my hand in front of my face. You know, and you keep doing that, and eventually you'll gain success, and you'll have a little bit more autonomy, a little bit more self-direction in your dream, which can be lovely.
Very good. I like that. Very nice, Lee said.
Thank
you. We have a call for Steve from New Jersey. Steve, go for it.
Thank you, Maureen. Who's calling from New Jersey? Hello, New Jersey. Is anybody there?
They're there. Wait for it. Here it comes.
Caller from New Jersey, can you hear me?
They're there. You know they're going to, as soon as you go, no, they're not. New Jersey. Say it in the
Hi. Accent. my name
New
is Anand.
Very good.
I had a
good job there. Gee, wow. Well, if New Jersey can hear us, you know, please, you know, express yourself. I'm Madonna. Express yourself. Okay.
Hello?
Here we go. Okay. Well, maybe New Jersey's there, and we'll wait a moment for that. In the meantime, in the meantime, what else does anybody else that would like to call? The call number is 724-4451 in New Jersey. If you can hear us, and you're still there. Let me see. They are there. He said, is from what I understand. But he or she needs to call back. So you can call back, and we'll get you through 724-444-4851. And it looks like I am looking at something very interesting. Okay, so they are back. So try again, Steve.
Okay, New Jersey, can you hear me?
Hi, sorry about that. I don't know what happened. That never happened before.
No problem. What's your name?
Hi, my name is Anand, and I have a quick question about relationships.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so it's been pretty much the same question I've asked last week, essentially. I've had a crush on this girl who I, ironically enough, haven't met yet. I sent her a Facebook message like maybe 2 weeks ago, and there was never a response. So I was just wondering if there's any hope with that, or what I should be thinking, or how that's going to end up. Or
okay, let's see. You know, I can see that you're a really loving guy. You're also a very creative guy, and you seem to have a real feel of maturity about you. You know, you're not a guy that plays games. You're very genuinely interested in finding a partner and being in a relationship. So that comes across really, really clearly. What I feel with this girl is that she either is still in love with somebody else, or she has separated recently from somebody she was with for quite some time, or it could be a combination of the two. I don't feel as though she is in a relationship, actually, but I feel as though there's an attachment that she hasn't overcome. So I feel that that's the blockage with her. I don't feel it's that you've offended her in any way, or that she's just not interested. I just don't feel that she's able to move on yet from this connection that she's had in the past. And I feel as though you're handling yourself and that situation well. And I feel that you'll take a very balanced and mature approach to it. But I don't feel that it would work out between the two of you. I don't feel that she's available emotionally at this time. And I don't feel that she will be in the near future. So I know you've developed feelings for her. But mm-hmm. I feel that you need to take a step back and recognize that there are many options, and trust spirits, trust the universe. When the right relationship comes, it will work out. But I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but equally I don't want to mislead you. And my strong feeling is this is just not meant to be. But I want you to understand it's not because of anything you've done. It's simply because there's a lingering attachment there to somebody else that she seemed to separate from. And I feel as though she's very much still in healing mode. That's okay. What I see for you.
Can you just tell when I'll be in a relationship? Or
when you will be in a relationship? The best way to calculate that is through astrology. Your prospects are good. We don't have time to calculate astrological progressions and things on the radio show. But I feel as though you're going in the right direction. You're very genuine. You've got a lot to offer. And I really feel that you will be in a relationship. Let's just see when. I'm just asking if it's in the springtime. Let's see. That's not clear. It's not clear whether it's spring. Let me see if it's summer. Summer. I'm talking next year. Is it mm-hmm. summer? No, it's not summer. So it's either spring or it's fall. Let me ask, is it fall of next year? No, it's spring of next year. So you're talking, I would say, May, end of April, May, and into June of next year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
All right. Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Well, thank you, Steve. Very nice. And we have another caller for Carmen from New Jersey.
Hello. Hi, it's Carmen here. Hi, caller. What is your inquiry?
They're there.
Wait. Yeah, no, it just takes a while. We're going through the sound barrier. There's a slight lag. Oh, we have a few cosmic rays. Hello, caller.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, hi, I'm fine. What's your name?
Simone from New Jersey.
Hi, Simone. Hi. Nice to meet you. So, what can I do for you?
I would like to know if my boyfriend and I will eventually move in together.
Ah, what is his name, please?
Jamel. Jamel.
Okay, one moment. Well, you know, it says here he's prone to leaving under stress and has a tendency to not handle conflict well. So he is going to avoid going into this. But initially, then it says he may want to get or obtain mutual, like set up mutual financial arrangement for both of you. It's like a way of saying that he would rather not, because it would mean to him that, you know, he would have to give up a part of himself, and he can't handle intimate relationships or emotionally intimate relationships well. But then he does, because both of you need to support each other. But that's like, I think he would do that with anybody. Yet, now the issue is as to whether it will actually happen. It says here, there's a bit of a wait. Well, let's see if I can define why. It does say here that he is going to kind of, I want to say kind of, not propose, that's too old-fashioned, make a promise to you, and that will last you through to moving in together, which will be, I think, much, much later. I almost feel, I want to say, not, it's like a bit of a rocky road to get there. And then maybe it's a little too late. How long have you been dating?
5 years, and we have a son.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, yeah. So he's still going to put that promise out there. That's why that comes through. And then for the financial reason, he is definitely going to try and move in with you. But I see this as such a ways off. And he keeps trying. So, you know, I don't believe he trusts himself. I think he feels he failed you. And I think he feels he's really bad at conflict resolution. And that you have every right to be mad at him. And that he wants you to be well and would commit to you and may still. And it just seems to me like you've been through an awful lot, but you can do this. And there's still a good fundamental core of at least love from him. And, you know, you're his greatest hope. You are his family, even without your kid. So I think you should just remember that even if you don't move in right away, there's still a possibility that you could later. He's just suffering chronic self-esteem issues. So, yeah, well, I mean, you know, if you want to know if you should continue this relationship, you may just want to call me in private, and we could go, my name is Carmen, we could go into a little more detail for you, you know, on this, and look a little more deeply into his intentions. I think that the outcome is still pretty steady. You could still remain together, you know, for quite some time. So don't let this at all, like what your vision of a perfect outcome is or an ideal outcome, cloud your vision, your perception of the future. Because in fact, it's for the right reasons, and it's, you're going to be fine one day, you know. I don't see you breaking up, if that's any consolation. And you probably need to decide whether you want to be with him in a long-term relationship. And that would have to be done at a later date when you feel more secure about making that decision. It's not to say he's junk or rubbish or anything like that. Do you know what I mean? Just yeah. Like really, realistically, what you need for the rest of your life to nurture you, because you seem depleted. And you do have always the opportunity to make another choice in life. I don't think that having a child will define you for the rest of your life. I think you can probably plan it in 10-year increments or whatever. You can try with him for many more years and then think about, you know, what you really, really want for your future. You know?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm going to pass you back to my radio producer here, co-host Maury.
That's me.
Thank you. Nice meeting you.
Thank you, caller. Thank you, Carmen. And also, Carmen, to bring us up, if anyone would like to get a more detailed reading, you can contact us at psychicaccess.com. And anyone who has not been over to the site, you also get a 6-minute free reading if you go over there and sign up. Okay, our next caller is for Stephen from New York.
Thank you very much, Carmen. Maureen. I apologize.
Sure, yeah, okay, whatever.
Scatterbrain. Well, hello, New York. Who am I speaking with?
Wait for it. Here it comes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know it's coming.
New York. There they are.
One of my favorite states. Hi, New York. Hello, are you with us?
Oh, yeah, put in your sexy.
If I talk New York, they'll show up. That's what I'm thinking.
Okay, on to Missouri. We have Missouri for you, Stephen.
Another fine state. Love Missouri. Who am I speaking with in Missouri?
Hello, my name's Christina Stanley.
Hi, Christina. Thank you for calling tonight. How may I help you?
I have two questions. One is, will I get into dental school? My second question is, what does my love life look like?
All right, well, let's see what your prospects are of getting into dental school. Do you plan, have you already sent in your applications and everything? Have you taken, you know, the exams and stuff to get in and all that good stuff?
I take the exam later this month.
Is there any way that you can postpone that? Because I'm seeing right now that you might not be prepared to take that exam, do you see?
Yeah, there's a way I could postpone it.
I don't think you can lose anything at all by postponing that exam and taking practice exams online or preparing more for it, because quite frankly, Christina, I've got to be honest with you. I mean, it's what I do here, is to be as honest as possible. Quite frankly, from what I'm seeing here, you're not quite prepared yet to get into dental school. It's quite, you know, it's quite competitive. Do you see? And there are going to be a lot of people applying, and you're going to, you know, your test scores are going to have to be as high as they possibly can be. Do you see? And I'm thinking that right now, if you were to take that test at the end of the month, do you see, I don't think the scores would be high enough to land you securely in front of your competition. Do you see what I'm saying, Christina?
Mm-hmm.
And as much as I hate to be a negative Nelly, really, I think if you can postpone that entrance exam, I really, really think that's the wisest thing to do right now, okay?
Okay.
Now, I wished I could get to your second question, but unfortunately, I can't. We're restricted to one question, okay? So if you haven't visited us at the website, you get a free 6-minute reading if you've never registered on the site before, do you see?
Okay,
so I warmly invite you to come out to the site, register, get that free 6-minute reading, okay, Christina?
Alrighty, thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Best of luck to you.
Oh.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Stephen. And he can be
yes,
reached
ma'am.
At Psychic... ma'am, I'm a miss. And he can,
sorry.
Be, can be reached at psychicaccess.com. I have a caller from New York also. Hello, New... Oh, it's still New York. Hi, New York. New York.
Hello.
Hi,
this is Lady J or Holly.
Okay, and what can I help you with?
I don't really have a specific question. I'm more trying, I've been repeating a pattern with jobs and, you know, being on my own for a very long time. And, you know, I'm in New York and employment is not really very good out here. So I'm getting these jobs that are kind of like a dime a dozen and cycling from unemployment to a job. And I've applied to jobs and unfortunately I ended up making a double payment on my loans. So I have nothing in my account and nothing coming in. And now it's almost kind of like it's pushing me to go back in that repeat cycle to take the next job that comes up because I really have nothing coming in. So
okay.
My question is, what do I need to know about getting a financially secure job?
Okay. Well, you know what? Intention. They're right there. You have intention. You need to do that or you want. This is what I'm getting. You know, right now I feel that there is something that's surrounding you. I can't directly express it, but it's like I see you at a crossroads right now. It's something that were maybe in the recent past thinking about doing and thinking about it would be a big change, but it may be that it doesn't appear, but the timing wasn't right. There's something coming back around. I see a woman connected to this opportunity, and... And, you know, I'm getting that, you know, your ship is going to come in. This is so cliche. Your ship will come in, but it's just a little, the progress is a little bit slower. But there's something about the past coming back around. I think the opportunity is still there, but it looks like the springtime, there was maybe it wasn't the right timing. But there's something that I feel that you had thought about going towards What was going on March, last March? I'm going to ask you. March, April.
No, there I applied for a bunch of different jobs, like claims processing. Oh, my goodness, a ton. I'd have to really sit and contemplate. I spoke to many different females.
Okay.
I got my security guard license. I put a lot of money into security guard work, getting my licensure, you know, and I have the credential.
You know, I do see that also it would, there was some travel that may have been involved, it's not like a long-term travel. I'm talking about like a short something, or it might have been a training thing that you'd need to go somewhere. It's like maybe overnight or something. But I just feel that, you know, you said something about you want to get a really great paying job. I mean, that's ideal. But like you mentioned that, you know, you went ahead and put my, you know, how we do, we put, you want to be all secure. And then my feeling is there's an ordinary opportunity that may seem ordinary. Maybe it's not, it won't be the highest paying, but it will be the best one, because I do see that it would go in a direction where it would be quite advantageous, and it would be, the money would, it would be good. But it may be that it will appear like to you, oh, this is just a ruthless job. But like I said, I see right now there's two opportunities that right now, I mean, you haven't been offered any, or you haven't, maybe you need to.
I've been on a job interview yesterday. I signed up for law enforcement. That takes about a year. So I need a job that's financially secure that can get me through the year.
Right.
I had one interview yesterday.
What I guess I'm trying to say is I feel there's something from the past that you maybe had approached, and maybe if you touch base again, and I do see there's a female connect to it, but this is something from the past that you had reached out to, but it wasn't, it just didn't materialize or whatever, but I do, it may not seem like it's a great, fantastic by all appearances, but I do feel that you will prosper in this. So if you can remember going back and applying at some place, maybe they weren't, you know, wasn't the timing, retract back. You know, I'm not saying I'm, you know, maybe I'm off on this, but retract back and reach out again to one that you had already done so, even though if you didn't get an offer before or you didn't get a yes. But I do feel it's somewhere around March or April, somewhere that you had gone and applied yourself. And it looks like
I think her name is Teresa.
You think it's
I just checked my email. Some Teresa from employment actually just got back to me from a little while ago. So actually, you're correct. You're picking. I think you're picking that up.
Okay, I do see things really. You know, I do see you really taking a good direction, control of your life. I do see you heading in you really know which direction you're going. I see you coming out of stagnation. Although things have, again, the progress, you've wanted to be a little bit faster, but things are going to start, sometimes we have to harvest, and harvesting, but I do feel that things are going to move very well for you. And I also see you no longer being in a position where you will not be acknowledged for what you should be and getting the credit. It seems like you've always been the one that hasn't been getting the credit where you should have for anything.
You picked that up. Yeah,
and
I hear
that. And that's a learned behavior thing, and you're not going to tolerate. There's a good change going on your way. And for you internally, but it's good. And even though it doesn't appear like the best, wonderful, expensive job, it's okay. You're moving in a really good direction. You'll be fine.
All right.
Absolutely.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I thank you for calling, and I hope I helped you.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. And let me see here. Do we have a caller? And I might have missed out if anybody else...
Call from Georgia for me,
thank
I think,
you.
Maureen.
Thank you. No, I thank you for that. Go for it.
You're welcome. Georgia, can you hear me?
Georgia?
Yes.
Me?
What's your name?
Monique.
Hi, Monique. How are you?
All right.
Good. How can we help?
My past life. I want to know anybody from my past on return back in my life. Like people that I knew in my past, but they entered my life. Anytime soon, that I need to look for.
Well, you know, Monique, my guides have always told me that the people we are close to in life are certainly people that we've been involved with previously. So those close connections, family connections, people we meet that we just feel close to, whether it's a relationship or a romantic relationship or a friendship, these are close connections from the past. So I certainly believe that there are strong connections. I feel with you that there is a connection from the past, from a previous life with you, that was a romantic connection. But I don't feel that it worked out. I don't feel that you're with this person right now. I feel that you realized in time that this person was quite a strong character and was almost compromising you for what they wanted in life. So I feel a very karmic connection, although a very stormy connection from the past there. And I feel in future there is a much more positive connection, a much calmer, much more joyful connection. I don't feel that you have to do anything in order to find this person. I do feel that this person is male, and I feel that you'll have a stronger connection when it comes to intellectual interests and communication, and you will have good times together. And I'm drawn to next year. I feel that you will create a home with this person, not next year, but I feel that you meet this person next year, and I'm very drawn towards the end of the summer, specifically into August and towards the end of August. So there will be more karmic connections, but this connection from the past is more straightforward. It just feels calmer, whereas that connection I referred to in the past felt really tumultuous and challenging. So I feel that you've got something to look forward to there, but remember that we're all connected somehow. I remember listening to a lecture by Deepak Chopra, right, and he said,
come back like end of this year or beginning of next year.
I said August next year, so August 2014, yes, and it feels later in August rather than earlier in August.
So then when the past connection will start next year in August?
Well, I feel that you will just have an intense connection with this person, that you will... You'll just know that there's a strong connection. This is not just somebody that wanders into your life.
I realize it by that time.
Say that again for me, Monique.
You say I will realize it around that time by August, you say?
When you meet this person in August, towards the end of August, yeah, you'll feel a familiarity. You'll feel that it's different. Okay? Mm-hmm. All right, Monique.
So when will he'll return like end of this year, then the connection will get more strong around by that time. Do you know what you mean?
No. I said that you will meet this person in August of next year. So not this year, in August of next year. Okay? Mm-hmm. I wish you lots of luck, Monique.
How would I meet the person? How?
I feel that you'll meet this person through friends. And as I said, towards the end of August. And I can't take more than one question, Monique. We only take one question per caller because we're limited for time. Okay. But as I said, okay, I do feel that you'll meet this person in August of next year. And I wish you lots of luck.
Okay.
Thank you for calling, Monique.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
Take care. Bye.
Thank you, Steve. That was lovely. And Carmen, you have a caller from New York. A lot of East Coast people. New York.
Oh, hello. Spooky night. Hi.
Hi.
How are you? What's your name?
My name is Deborah.
Hello.
Hi. I work for the government. Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I work for the government. I interviewed for a job. That was where I didn't want to go, and I was going to leave the interview, but they asked me to stay to be interviewed for another job that will be coming up, and they have to open it up because of the way the administrations are going right now, because we have a job freeze. And on my way out, I was told that I did good on the interview, and they were going to fight for me to get the other job, but it's a lot of red tape. Do you see me getting the job?
Oh, okay. Let's see here. So it's within the government.
Yes, it's in the government. It's like a transfer going from the Department of Defense to the Veterans Administration.
Okay. They're trying very hard. It seems to me like you're right. There's some kind of creation, job creation going on, but it's not for some time. So I might feel this one request may be denied because you're going to the Veterans Affairs, hey? Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, look, it doesn't seem far out that you could get it, but it seems to me that it would be quite about 4 weeks away. That's what it seems to say here. And then it says you're a delayed offer. So it's possible that I'm seeing this. It seems to me like they were considering it, but I'm not getting the 100% on this.
Okay.
And, yeah.
The government is going right now, because we just was furloughed, we was frozen, we was taken out of our job. So much is going on, so I know there's a freeze and a possible downsize in the government. So I wouldn't be surprised. I just wanted to know what you thought.
Well, I didn't see that there was necessarily a downsizing, just for you, just so that you know. Like, I know what you're talking about and what we all hear. But I also know that they're putting money into different areas, okay?
Yes, they are.
They are.
Yes, they are.
And so you probably are, you know, applying for the right side. But in terms of just looking at the decision-making, everything is going to be a lot slower. I feel like part of it's not a hiring freeze, but a considerable slowdown so as to look to make a thorough investigation and not to do impulse hiring. So it allows for accountability. It doesn't say no. And so I wouldn't rule this out, okay?
Okay. Thank you. I know there's a wait. Have a great night.
Best of luck to you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Carmen. If anybody would like to get a hold of Carmen at psychicx.com or anybody else, they can try us over there. And so, Stephen, you for New York again. We have all New York and New Jersey, New York.
All right. New York. Who am I speaking with?
Hey, Stephen. This is Anne.
Hello, Anne. Thank you very much for calling. How may I help you this evening?
Well, you know my question, I guess.
Yes, I can probably guess it. You probably would like to know about Adam, correct?
Adam and John Marie.
Okay. Let's see what we have here. 1 second while I pick up on that one. 1 second, Anne. Ah, okay, over the next 3 months, with Adam, especially the first 4 weeks, going from now until the end of November, I do believe that the effort, the work, all that you have done in order to chase after him or to get him or to win him over, that work is going to be coming to a close. You've been scattering your energies all over the place, trying to get his attention, trying to help him to realize what a fabulous person you are. And over the next 4 weeks, those efforts are actually going to come to a close. The next 4 weeks, okay, going from late November to late December, things are going to start improving, do you see? Probably
that's
all across the board.
Before as well, like around Thanksgiving.
Right. It's, you know, for a long time, you know, Adam is sort of reluctant. You know, he's a little cautious. But for a long time, I've been feeling as if, you know, this autumn, some point, late autumn, something like that, you know, we'll start to see a turnaround. But I have to caution you that it's not going to be a radical type of turnaround. Do you see? There still will be a little bit of caution with Adam. So that's something you want to be prepared for. But I expect that you will communicate with him more. And by the time by the time we get into January, for example, the beginning of 2014, the situation will improve even a little bit more, and there'll start to be more affection and emotion coming into the picture. Do you see? So the hardest thing with him is that you're going to have to be patient dealing with the process. We're talking about a man who's very cautious, you know, very career driven, not really inclined to relationship quite yet. Do you see? So he deserves a little bit of patience. You ought to start getting a better result out of him pretty soon, okay? And the same thing with Jean-Marie. Ditto that. Jean-Marie is a little bit confusing. Hot, cold, a little bit confusing, and you certainly deserve better than that. So the best thing to do with him is to not tolerate that instability anymore, and to let him know that this is not acceptable, and you'll also get a better result out of him as well. You see, so you can't let guys like that pretty much run over you and spend time with you only when it's convenient for them. Do you see what I'm saying, Ann? You have to stick up for yourself more.
If I do that, that would his response be like positive?
Well, believe it or not, he'll definitely respect you more, and it's likely to arouse his chase instinct and maybe make him a little jealous in a positive way, too. And again, what you're going after here is his respect. You definitely don't want him to think that you're a toy or an item of convenience that he can pick up and then set to the side, as it pleases him. Do you see? That's not a relationship at all. And what you're looking for is a relationship relating between two human beings. So with Jean-Marie, you have to be prepared to give him some hard truths, that you're not satisfied with his behavior and that you expect better from him, you see. And with Adam, unfortunately, that approach isn't going to work at all, because he'll just say, no problem with me. I'll just concentrate on my work again and not call you. With Adam's going to require a lot more patience, you see. I wish I could go into this a little bit more, but unfortunately we've sort of ran out of time. And
thank you very much.
Oh yes, ma'am. Thank you very much, and we'll talk soon, okay?
Yep. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thank you, Stephen. Yes, Stephen can be reached at psychicaccess.com as well. And caller for me from Alabama. Hello, Alabama. Hello. Hi. I know they're here. Alabama, calling from the state of Alabama. Hello. I love Alabama State, too.
The trick is just to go with it.
I'm just going to go to Alabama in my mind. Hello, Alabama, or caller from Alabama. Hello. Well, how about I just wait until I have Alabama. I want to move to Alabama. North Carolina, hello.
Hello.
Over there. Are you a caller from North Carolina?
Yes.
Hi, and what's your name, please?
My name is Estrella.
Hi, and what can I help you with?
Oh, yes. I met a man like 2 weeks ago, and I would like to know if he is the person that I'm looking for. If we are going to have to be in a serious relationship, taking this serious.
Okay, so you said you just met him recently, and you want to know if he's going to be worthy of the long term. Got it. Okay, let me see. All right. Well, you sound like you're. Was he a friend? I know that you said you met him. It looks like this person has been hovering over you for a bit. I mean, it looks like even before, like it was there, but maybe you didn't see him as that type or closer. But it looks very positive to me. It looks like and I'm not, don't get me wrong when I say this, people always think, I see this as a relationship that's goes beyond the physical. I'm not saying physical is not going to be part of it, but it goes beyond that, which is a very deeper, I don't like using this word, but here it goes, soulmate type of connection. I also feel that, I do want to say this, so, and I'm going to, here it goes. I'm seeing that there is somebody that maybe a little bit of a troublemaker, I feel that you know of, that may try to interfere with your personal business. So what I'm encouraging you to just be very mindful of any person. It looks like someone is a girl, but she's like tomboyish looking a bit, like a straight up, you know, straight body, not really, you know, like a boyish body. But she's very clever, and she may just be, whatever issues are, she may be a little gossipy, and that is something you don't need right now when you just met this person. Because I feel that if you hear anything that might not be true, you could go either way. You could become very off balanced, and that would be a crying shame. I don't feel that. So if you hear, and it could break you apart. The way I read is this: you have a choice. You know, we all have choices. You can make a negative into a positive. I'm saying I see this to be a really good start of a good solid relationship that could very well be a great opportunity for a lifelong partner. However, if anybody's starting to talk your personal business to you, be very careful and ask him, your new guy, first what's going on. Okay? If you hear anything bad about if anybody gets in your business, a third person interfering, like someone says, well, you know, he's a player, or you know, don't listen to it. Please don't listen to it, because I don't feel it'd be right. I feel this is a positive thing, okay? Just if you hear anybody, just be careful. Always go to him. Don't listen to all the gossip that you might hear, okay?
Okay, really important. You say that he's a good guy.
But there'll be somebody that might say otherwise. This is gossip. Don't listen to anything that doesn't have to do with fact. Yes, he's a good guy. I see you two really connecting well. Yes, I do. Okay? But just be careful, like I said.
It will be a possible relationship with him.
Yeah, I absolutely see that, unless you decide to listen to somebody else's mouthy mouth that could present a problem. That's why I'm reading this way and being a little hard on you. Yes, I do see it to be a very good potential. But be very aware of anything you hear about him. Go to him and find out for yourself. Don't listen to anybody else, okay? This is a very positive opportunity I see you heading towards, okay? I hope I helped you. Okay, thank you for calling.
Very much. Okay.
Bye-bye. No. Okay, do we have another caller from Alabama? Oh, another caller who's up next? I'm sorry. Who's up next for a
read? It's me, Steve.
I'm sorry. Steve, I count on you to jump in. Okay, there you go.
No problem. Who's calling? Who's calling from Alabama?
Virginia.
Hi, what's your name?
Joey Young.
Joey.
Hello?
Did you say your name is Joey?
Joey Young.
Oh, okay, sure. How can I help?
Can you tell me what you think good for me for the year?
For next year.
For this month, next month.
Okay. Just the outlook. Let me see. Well, I feel as though there's a strong focus on moving beyond emotional issues. So I feel that there have been some emotional challenges for you this year, some upset that you need to move beyond and work through. But my guides are saying to me the big focus for you should be your finances. So I feel that that's a strong area of focus for you in the next, I would say, the next 12 months. Now, I'm going to say to you in the next 6 months, the next six of the 12 months, I feel that finances will be challenging. And I feel that you'll need to be sensible, need to stay focused on doing the right things to get your finances in order. But I feel that in the second six-month period, your financial situation will improve and you'll really have an opportunity to make good progress. So that seems to be the outlook for you, focusing on finances and letting go of whatever emotional issues have been upsetting you in the last 12 months or so.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Bye.
Bye now.
Thank you, Steve. And anybody else listening out there, you can catch, you can come on over to psychicaccess.com and you can find all of us and a lot of other great psychics over there. So that brings us to a lovely show, yet a lovely another show. Thanks, Doug. I know you can hear me, even if you've been on stand-up, doing stand-up tonight. But thanks, Doug, for everything that you do for us and all the in the background is hard work. And my co-host, and so I say goodbye with that. Carmen, you are closing. You have next week's show, correct? Yes.
Yes, I do. And we're going to have an interesting person. His name is David Baker, and he is a medium. And he has a background in law enforcement, so that's what got him into mediumship, actually, working in jails. He came across a lot of spirits. The topic that we will be working on next week is possession. So he has worked with spirit possession and exorcism, so I dare you to come to next week's show. Mwahaha.
Halloween's over.
No!
Thank you, Carmen. I'm just joking.
It's never over in psychic access, ever.
Anyway, so everybody else, can say your bows and thank yous. Thanks, everybody, and please come back next week. We love our chat room people.
Yes, we do. Thank you. Have a good week, everyone. Happy Halloween.
Yes, thanks. Happy Halloween.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.